This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoon. Continuing with our series on the life story of Joseph, it is clear this whole story is mainly about God and His mercy and love towards sinners. Looking now at Genesis 42, we see God lovingly pursue the sons of Jacob, using as His instrument brother Joseph. Behold, the sons of Jacob brought to an end of themselves and led in the way of conviction and confession of sin. See them lovingly brought to humble, hearty submission before the Lord. Through His preached word, God Triune is still busy lovingly pursuing people like us for good. My prayer is He will work this broadcast too, in the hearts of all those who know Him, and also in the hearts and lives of those who don't yet know Him as Savior and Lord. The context of our text passage tells that everything is in place now for the next stage in God's plan of bringing the brothers of Joseph to the Lord, and the family of Jacob to be preserved in Egypt for some hundreds of years. Joseph is the governor of Egypt, second in command, and the provider of food for all the peoples of Egypt and the surrounding countries, including for the people of Canaan. Don't you think, too, Joseph must have been anticipating and expecting one day that his brothers might come? Sure enough, one day it happened too. There they came, his brothers from Egypt, and they bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth, verse 6 says, just like Joseph's earlier dreams had foretold. Joseph realized full well this was an act of God, having these men now before him, them not knowing at all that he was their brother Joseph, who they had meanly sold and betrayed, but he knowing full well they were his brothers, the sons of Jacob from Canaan. Well, let us see how Joseph, in the name of God, lovingly pursued for good his brothers. Had his wicked brothers changed from their evil ways when they had so coldly and with murderous hearts sold him as a slave to Egypt years before, and lied all the while to their father Jacob about what they had done to him? In our text chapter, we see God, through Joseph, shaking up the sons of Jacob through at least four different means. The heavenly Joseph, Christ Jesus, still uses these same means today. We learn, for one, the Lord lovingly pursues these men and shakes them up through the pinch of need. In this case, the need for food itself. The fact that the brothers were feeling the pinch of need comes out already in verse 1 of our text chapter. We are told there how the brothers just kind of sat around and stared emptily and hopelessly at each other. You know the looks of famine children and adults we sometimes see on pictures? Well, so they were blankly looking one upon another, as verse 1 tells us. See God now working to bring these hardened brothers to conviction of sin. The brothers finally go to Egypt, because otherwise they would in fact just die from starvation, they and their families. How merciful being brought in need can be, when the need also brings us to God. Isn't it true, dear listener, only when God shows us that the cupboard of our own supposed righteousness and resources is absolutely bare, that we are ready to admit our need and come humbly to Him who is the bread of life? Through the pinch of need, God began to awaken these men. Yes, especially also that they had to go to Egypt for this food, that one country that reminded them of their evil deed more than 20 years before, when they cold-heartedly sold their brother Joseph to tradesmen who took him to Egypt. Their conscience pricked them with every reference to Egypt and with each step closer to that land. You can be sure of that. It is interesting to notice all throughout the Bible how often through bringing people in need, God brings them or begins to bring them to their senses. I think here too of the story of the prodigal son. Jesus tells us when the wayward son was in want, he came to himself and acknowledged his sin and folly. When he ate the same food fed to the pigs, he came to his senses. Is there anyone listening who must be made to feel the pinch of need somehow, some way, before you come to your senses and confess and forsake your sin? My purpose in bringing out how God used trouble and affliction for good is not that any should wait for that to seek and serve God. God would have us respond to Him without first being brought into great need. The fact is, however, in our sins and sinfulness by nature, many times it takes a pinching, crushing need to have us become serious with God and to face up to our real spiritual needs as sinners before Him. What an undeserved mercy when God, through felt need, will lead stubbornly resistant sinners like ourselves by nature unto Himself. God was lovingly pursuing these hardened brothers of Joseph, not just now through the pinch of need, but notice next, also through the pinch of harsh treatment. This is what Joseph gave to his brothers when they arrived in Egypt. Joseph comes across harshly towards them when insisting his brothers were spies and imprisoning his brothers for 3 days and in tying up Simeon before them to leave him behind while they returned back to their homes. By all these means, Joseph also deliberately played back the very things they had done to him years before. He would uncover them to their sins by uncovering their sins to them. We can be sure this harsh treatment Joseph administered on his brothers was as painful, if not more, to him than to them. Judgment is God's strange work, and He delights in mercy. Yet God must come with His law to expose us to ourselves. And what a mercy when by the law He slugs us, as it were, that through His grace He might hug us forevermore. The law is the schoolmaster which drives us to Christ. So also this painful, harsh treatment these brothers received served to awaken them and make them feel their sins. Does the law not condemn us all by nature? Have you too felt the stinging power of the righteous law of God? And have you seen yourself in the mirror of that perfect standard of God's just demands? Are there sins you committed you will not have exposed, but insist on keeping buried and forgotten? If so, might not God be speaking to you even through this message? How wonderful, really, to be lovingly pursued for good, like Joseph's brothers were by God through Joseph himself. Notice, not only were the brothers pursued by the pinch of need and the pain of harsh treatment, but also they felt pursued through the pressure of solitude. What I mean here is, think about these brothers put in prison for 3 days. They were forced just to sit and think a while about their lives. One of the devil's tactics today in keeping people from the Lord or cool towards Him is by just never allowing people to sit still and reflect a while. Satan works that mankind be always busy, too busy to think on their souls and the life to come, too busy in the present to think at all beyond it. How foolish we are to be so duped by the evil one. Do you have quiet times in your life, times alone with God and His Word too, to reflect on the reality of things, also your own life, and the judgment to come, and the world to come? When will we stop and consider and think about the real issues of life and death and eternity? If not today, especially the Lord's Day, when then will you have time to think on God and what really counts? How tragic that Sundays, too, have become the world's busiest fun days, again leaving no time or thought to matters of life and death and eternity, and no reflection on His holy word. It is very striking that in our text passage, with all that was happening to the brothers, we are told in verse 21 of Genesis 42 that now they actually mention their sin of the past one to another. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother Joseph, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." You see how they were becoming convicted more and more? How cold and callous these brothers had been before about their wicked deed against Joseph long ago. But now they were beginning to cry and crumble under the weight of their sin as it gets uncovered to them. These unspiritual men began to think spiritually with all that is happening to them by the hand of God. We are told in verse 24 how it stirred Joseph to the depths to see and hear their breaking down in the beginnings of confession of sin. but Joseph was not yet ready to make himself known to them. He would have them come to still more awareness of their wrongdoing, and he himself wanted to discover how genuine was their growing conviction of sin. So in wisdom and tender mercy, Joseph keeps one of the brothers in prison, Simeon, the next oldest after Reuben, and the rest he sends home with the order to come back only with bringing Benjamin too. Otherwise, they would be treated as spies indeed. In Joseph not too quickly making himself known to his brothers, but seeking to have them really convicted of their sins and sorry for them, can we not learn something about not too quickly glossing over the fact of our sins and sinfulness by nature? Isn't it true in general today that Christ the Savior is so little truly appreciated and wholeheartedly served because far too many so-called Christians have no real grasp of the depth of their sins and miseries and their guilt and evil by nature before God triune? Joseph, in lovingly pursuing his brothers for good in God's stead, did not hesitate to dwell on their deep-rooted sins and sinfulness in seeking to lead them to conversion. God forbid that the depth of our sins and sinfulness and truly being convicted thereof be a missing element in our preaching today. For then our preaching is in vain, and then we are not truly in Christ's stead, lovingly pursuing others with his gospel. Another means whereby the Lord led the brothers of Joseph here in the way of true religion was through the provision of Joseph with the extra grain for their return journey, and especially the returned money they had paid for the grain being in their feed bags. It all helped serve to make them aware of and speak of God and his presence in their lives somehow, some way. Before this, the brothers would not and did not acknowledge God as having any real relevance in their lives. It is very striking, in fact, to notice from verse 28, when the brothers say one to another, "What is this that God has done to us?" that this is the very first time we have any reference from them concerning God in all their life story up to this point. Oh, they were raised in a home, a covenant home, where God was taught about and known by the patriarch Jacob. But for these sons before this time, this God was mostly just someone unimportant and non-existent. But now not anymore. No, being lovingly pursued by God for good, the fruit was that they begin to think in terms of God. That's always a sign of God's working in our lives. You cannot shake off the sense of God being a reality, someone with whom we have to do. This is what happens when lovingly pursued by him for good. And you can't shake off God anymore for who he is and what he is about. But you begin to reckon with him, and he's in your thoughts and outlook now. "What is this that God has done unto us?" they say. When God lovingly pursues us for good, and the fruit is always he becomes more real and acknowledged by us, and our sin begins to be honestly confessed and owned by us. We see this happening in our text story, in the history of Joseph's brothers. Is the same also evident in your life and mine? Truly, nothing can be so important and urgent as being so made alive and awakened spiritually to the things of God. The opposite is living and staying and perishing in your sins. Lovingly pursued for good, it is what happened then long ago and what happens now still through the preached word by the working of the Holy Spirit. Even so, may he use this message too, perhaps especially for you. Amen. You may receive a free copy of this broadcast writing to the Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9790 Carlton Street, Chilliwack, B.C., postal code V2P6E3. Contact us, too, on the website www.frcna.org. Thank you for listening.